Hey, everybody. Welcome to Peck Report. I am your host, Josh Peck. Did the fall of Satan, did the fall of Lucifer actually kill all the dinosaurs? It seems kind of like a silly question, but there might actually be something to this. Now, Fox News recently reported that an asteroid that killed the dinosaurs caused a mile-high tsunami around the Earth. And it's an interesting story. So, you know, according to Fox News, it says dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago because of a massive asteroid that hit the Earth in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, now known as Chicxulub Crater. Now, while it's been generally accepted that the asteroid caused a massive disruption in the planet's climate, new study says the asteroid also caused a worldwide tsunami that reached more than 5,000 feet in the air. Now, you know what's really interesting about that area? Actually, many areas on the Earth have this, but in that area, ancient civilizations always worshipped an ancient dragon, this ancient dragon. Now, we've talked about many times on this channel the idea of an ancient sea dragon. And this kind of correlates with this supposed tsunami as well. So for those not familiar, just look up my name, Josh Peck Leviathan, and you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. But basically, the idea was ancient cultures, especially around the ancient Near East, they believed that chaos was caused by an entity named Leviathan. That's what chaos was. They personified it. That might be the better way to say it. They personified chaos. This chaos stuff that nature is made of, at least partly, with an ancient sea dragon named Leviathan. That is the Leviathan that's talked about in Job. There is a land version of it too, which would have been Behemoth. But it was to try to answer this question, why is there chaos in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? And the idea was that there is an ancient evil, an ancient chaos that, and by the way, the reason that they attributed it to the sea specifically is because to a human being, the sea means death, you know, especially in ancient times. The sea means death. It's chaotic. It can't be tamed, not by humans anyway. So that's why it was attributed to the sea. So that ancient symbol shows up all over in the ancient Near East. But the idea was that at creation, God already had subdued Leviathan. So Leviathan isn't right now reigning on Earth. Leviathan is being subdued. That's the idea. But then when you read the book of Revelation, there will come a time where God doesn't subdue Leviathan anymore. And, Leviathan is allowed to just wreak chaos all over the Earth because of the sins of humanity and things like that. It's a judgment. So that's what we're looking at. Now, there's another aspect to this. So in this report from Fox News, it says that this study says the asteroid caused a worldwide tsunami reaching more than 5,000 feet in the air. So this research presented at the American Geophysical Union's annual meeting on December 14th suggests that the tsunami impact started in the Gulf of Mexico and quickly spread from there. Quote, the impact tsunami spread quickly out of the Gulf of Mexico into the Atlantic and through the Central American Seaway into the Pacific within the first 24 hours. Wave reflection and refraction create a more complex tsunami propagation pattern by 48 hours post-impact, end quote. So that is what the study's abstract reads. Now, I want to stop real quickly and just say, if you haven't had a chance to do so, please subscribe to this channel, click on the bell for notifications, and keep visiting joshpeckdisclosure.com. It's very important that you do so. YouTube probably won't notify you, but we do upload several videos a day. Make sure in the comments you give a big thank you to my wife, Christina. She is the one that is doing all the uploading. She's the one that does the tags and does all of that stuff. I record the videos, send them to her. She takes care of it from there. And she's been able to work from home because of that and be at home more with the kids. So give her a big thank you in the comment section. She does a great job and she works really hard. But this tsunami idea is interesting, and this might have played a part in the understanding of Leviathan and the sea being a chaotic place. Now, we've also talked about on this channel that when something spiritual happens, it ripples into the physical. So let's say that a major occurrence happens in the spiritual realm. We'll see the effects of that, but But the effects that we see, we think are the cause. So I think that there are a lot of times that we have wars on earth. I think those actually have spiritual causes, and the effect is a war on earth. Now, that doesn't take out our responsibility for it. You know, we're still responsible. We're still, we still have free choice, you know, freedom of choice and all that. So we have to be responsible for our own actions. But I think that events that happen in the spiritual realm ripple out into the physical. So, for example, it talks in the book of Daniel, it talks about the Antichrist as the little horn of the beast, the little horn of the beast. Well, what is a horn of a beast? You know, the horn is the instrument that a beast will use to tear you apart. It's also usually the first thing that you see. If you have a sea beast and it's coming up out of the water, the horn is the first thing that you're going to see of this thing. So the way that I think about this, now obviously this is metaphorical language, it's symbolism to teach a deeper truth, but I believe in those ways the Antichrist will be the horn of Leviathan, or the horn of this chaos beast. It'll be the thing that Leviathan uses to wreak havoc on the earth, you know, to destroy humanity. And I think the symbolism of a horn is absolutely perfect, and it makes a lot of sense thinking of it that way. So while the beast is the source, while the beast, the Leviathan, the chaos monster, is the source, that's what's happening in the spiritual realm, what we see, the effect of that, is we see the Antichrist. We have the Antichrist. That's the physical representation of what's happening in the spiritual world. So, look, I really believe that what happens in the physical realm is a reflection of what is going on in the spiritual realm. It's like a shadow. You know, I mean, even scripture talks about that how the temple, the earthly temple, was just the shadow of the heavenly temple. Well, I don't think that language was used by accident. I think it is. Like if you have a shadow on the wall, it's a representation of you, but you're the one that's causing that shadow. The shadow is the effect. You are the cause. But if the shadow was conscious, it wouldn't be able to see you. It wouldn't be able to know that you were even there. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we are necessarily shadows of something else that's controlling us. You know, this isn't an argument against free will. We absolutely have free will. But we, individually, we have a spiritual side to us that we can't really see. You know, we can feel it. We can sense it. We're conscious. We have feelings and emotions. We can feel love and worship. You know, we can worship God and all that. But there's a whole spiritual side to us that we don't get, that we don't really have access to here in the physical, that we don't, well, we have access to it, but we don't understand it. You know, Ephesians 2, 5, and 6 talks about how we were already seated with Christ. We were already seated with him. It's all past tense language. In this temporal physical body, we look forward to that day, but with the language in that scripture, it's already happened. We're already there. But what is eternity? Eternity is a state outside of time. It's outside of time. We're in time, but outside of time at the same time. Now, that's impossible for us to wrap our heads around. We get little clues of it, but, you know, we shouldn't focus too much on that, because we can't get our heads around it. But we just have to know that we have personal responsibility for our choices. But there is a much larger, deeper spiritual reality all around us, and that reality ripples into ours. So there is a theory talking about the fall of Lucifer, the fall of Satan. There is a theory that when he fell in the spiritual, when he fell, that the effect of that was an asteroid hit the earth, killed the dinosaurs. Now, why only the dinosaurs? If this theory is even correct, why only the dinosaurs, and why didn't everything else go extinct? You know, did Noah even bring dinosaurs onto the ark? I would say no. I think dinosaurs were excluded. Why? I think by then probably most of them were dead. But here's why. When you read the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, you learn about the throne guardians of God, these cherubim, and they all have different faces, and they represent God's conscious, conscious probably isn't the right word, but God's living creation, God's creation that's alive. So you have angels, humans, and animals, and you have all sorts of different kinds of animals too. But what you don't have is you don't have any reptilian animals, specifically reptilian or amphibious. So like frogs, which can exist both in water and out of water, a perfect representation for chaos. And that might be why in the Book of Revelation, it talks about the three frog spirits that come out of the mouths of the beast and false prophet and antichrist and all that, the frog can perfectly, you know, exist in water and on land. There's chaos on water and on land. Just like with the dinosaurs, you had land dinosaurs and water dinosaurs as well. So what happened? There's the idea that there used to be a fifth throne guardian, that there used to be a fifth guardian around the throne of God. And this guardian was Satan, was Lucifer. And he fell. He became prideful and he fell. So now there's only four. There's only four left. So that's why on Earth, it's usually reptiles that are seen as evil. Reptiles and amphibious creatures too, or sea monsters that are seen as agents of chaos and evil and harbingers of doom and all of this stuff. And so the idea is all of these other cherubim, you know, the animals that are on the earth, they're fine because the good guys are fine, you know. That since they didn't rebel against God, there was no effect on the earth towards those animals. But because the one that represented reptilians, actually, it would be the other way around. The reptilian animals themselves would represent this angel. The animals on the earth would represent these angels. That's why we're not supposed to make images of angels. It's a perversion of how God has laid out creation. You know, God creates the angels in a specific way. Then he creates physical things that sort of that ripple out from that, or that represent his spiritual creation. So we can kind of look at that and understand what spiritual creation is sort of like. So if we make graven images to angels, we're flipping that around. It's a perversion of what God did. We're flipping it around. You know, what God did should be enough. But anyway, so the idea is that Satan fell, and that fall in the spiritual happened in a certain way, but the physical ripples, the effect of that fall is that all the dinosaurs were killed, and this mile tall tsunami all over the world. Well, that would make perfect sense with the symbol of chaos and Leviathan. It would make perfect sense. So that's kind of the idea. and so now we're just dealing with the chaos that's on the earth that was brought into the earth. That the spiritual source of it was brought into the earth when Satan fell. And in the physical, it was brought into the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, or when Leviathan, however we want to parse that out, tempted Leviathan and Eve, or tempted Adam and Eve, excuse me, that would have been Leviathan doing that. So that's when it was brought into the Garden of Eden. Now, there's a case to be made that, you know, the rest of the world was already chaotic. It was already not perfectly suitable for humankind. So God created the Garden of Eden as like a sanctuary from all that, and put Adam and Eve there, and that would have been where humanity could flourish. But they sinned, so they brought chaos in a physical sense into the Garden of Eden. That's how you can have, you know, if that was a sanctuary, how was the serpent, how was a spiritual being, an evil spiritual being of chaos, able to enter in? Well, it's because there's a spiritual and physical part to everything. So Satan would not have been able to, on his own, bring this chaos stuff that existed in nature outside of the Garden of Eden. He wouldn't be able to bring it in on his own because he's a spiritual being. He didn't have a physical human body in the way that Adam and Eve did. So he had to tempt Adam and Eve to sin against God, and then Adam and Eve unknowingly, that was like them inviting chaos into the Garden of Eden. And that's why God said, okay, we're not doing that. You know, we're going to put cherubim here, which very well could be the same exact guardian cherubim. But we're going to put, you know, around the throne of God, we're going to put cherubim here to guard the Garden of Eden. And you know, Adam and Eve, you guys got to get out. You know, why did he kick him out? Why didn't chaos and sin infect the Garden of Eden? Well, interestingly enough, throughout Scripture, when you read about paradise, when you take that back into the original languages, It's the Garden of Eden. God protected the Garden of Eden always, a sin-free place, a chaos-free place, so we as humans would not have to be eternally separated from him. That's why, yes, we're going to die in the physical. We're going to have a physical death in this chaotic world. But after that, that's why we can be redeemed. We can go back to the Garden of Eden. We don't have to be eternally separated from that. So it had to be protected. Adam and Eve had to be kicked out. We had to have some kind of sanctuary. We had to have a paradise, a heaven, whatever you want to call it. We had to have some place that we would be able to exist where we, if God loves us and doesn't want to be eternally separated from us, we would have to have some place to go. Otherwise, we would be all damned to utter chaos, to hell, to total chaos and nothing more. So a lot to unpack there, and I just kind of skimmed over some of the basic ideas. But as always, I would love to know what you think. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. Tell me what you think about all this. And if you haven't had a chance to do so, excuse me, please subscribe to this channel. Please click the bell for notifications. And I would love to invite you to the Hear the Watchmen conference. You can go to hearthewatchmen.com, MEN.com. And the conference is in March of 2019, starts March 28th, I believe. And if you use, when you buy your tickets, if you use the promo code Josh20, you can get $20 off your ticket. Isn't that amazing? So it's going to be a lot of fun. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there. Me and Stephen Bancars, we're going to be there. Irvin Baxter, Gary Wayne, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Carl Gallups, Zev Perad. If you want to know more about the Garden of Eden and Paradise connection, they have done a whole bunch of research into that. So that they're going to be there. You'll be able to ask us questions, talk to us. We're going to have a great time, and I would like to personally meet all of you, so I would love it if you would get some tickets and come and join me. That would be an absolute blast. Again, use the promo code Josh20, and I made it really easy too. Just go in the description below this video, go in the description below and click that link, and it'll take you right there. I have a link there where you can buy your tickets. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, if you're on the podcast version, if you go to the description, I don't think it's a hyperlink, so you'll have to copy and paste it, but it should be listed out there. And if you can't find it, that's okay. Just go to hearthewatchmen.com. Click on the Dallas 2019 link, and it'll bring you right there and give you all the information. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait for it. I would love to invite you, and again, use that promo code Josh20 to get $20 off your tickets. All right, everybody, I want to know what you think. Leave me a comment in the comment section below, and thank you so much for joining me. Till next time, take care and God bless.